Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we're in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah says, "Make it rain." In the last chapter, Elijah said, "No rain for you." But now he gathers up his courage and appears before Ahab and prepares to deliver the message that God is about to make it rain. Verse 2 says, "Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophet, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, 'Go through all the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we won't have to kill any of our animals.' So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. Obadiah encounters Elijah and says, 'Is that you, Elijah?' Now, it was kind of obvious that it was, because believe it or not, according to 2 Kings 1:8, Elijah wore camel's hair like John the Baptist did. He was kind of unique looking, but it wasn't the most comfortable of garments, but it's what you wore when you lived out in the wilderness, and in fact, modern day Bedouins still wear camel hair garments even today. Elijah says, 'Get your master.' But Obadiah knows Elijah walks in the supernatural, and if Ahab walks out to him and he's not there, Ahab will be furious in a famine and a drought and kill Obadiah. So Obadiah tells him, 'Look, I'm a good guy. I've been hiding the prophets of God, rescuing them from Jezebel, who's been slaughtering them.'" Now again, there's a parallel between Elijah here and John the Baptist, because John was murdered by the order of a king's wife, just like Jezebel. But Elijah assures Obadiah, "I'll be there. You just make sure Ahab is." Verse 16 to 17 contains one of my favorite greetings in the Bible. When Ahab sees Elijah, he says, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel? Try it out next time you see a long-lost friend approaching." But Elijah's response is total gangster to one of the most wicked and dangerous men on the planet. "I've not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You've abandoned the Lord's command and followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And thus, Elijah lays the smackdown on the crowd that assembles together. This is the showdown at high noon. This is the standoff, the rumble in the jungle where it all goes down. And Elijah's going to show Ahab who makes it rain. But first, the throwdown, "If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him," harkens back to the speech of Joshua, who asked something very similar. Mount Carmel has no significance in Jewish scripture, but it did in the pagan tradition. It's one of their high places, where pagan gods were worshipped, and here 450 prophets of Baal gathered to make it rain. It did look down on the Valley of Megiddo, however, or what you would know as the Valley of Armageddon, in the final battle where the earth brings forth all of its forces and God comes alone, and they face off in the final conflict. Today, it's the world center of the Baha'i faith, the world religion that teaches all religions are one, or at least all man-made ones. Therefore, today, ironically, it's still dedicated to paganism, embodying all of the religions of the world. Kind of exciting to see what happens in the story to know what's about to take place when you understand what's there today. So here's Elijah standing against the 450 prophets of Baal. He allows them to dance and frolic and cut on themselves and sing and shout and yell and sacrifice, trying to lure their fairy tale god down. Elijah can't resist a bit of smack talk and starts taunting them. Let's read it and laugh. But before we do, you should know that Elijah did not want it to be a fair fight. There were two altars, and Baal worshippers got the altar that was easy to light. Their altar is just normal. But Elijah's altar is dug deep with pits all around it, filled with water and completely water-drenched. He wants him to know that God doesn't only light a fire, he does it with power and against impossible odds. Back to verse 27 in this epic smack talk. At noon, obviously they've been at it for a long time, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until time for the evening sacrifice. But there is no response, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Now, I take great comfort in the level of humor that is found in the Bible. Those of you listening to Through the Word may notice at times I see the funny side of things when reading the Bible. Well, that's because the Bible itself has a sense of humor. For example, Talking Donkey, Balaam's Donkey, Eddie Murphy and Shrek had nothing on the Bible. That stuff was meant to be funny. This is another passage where a sense of humor busts out from the pages of Scripture. But then in verse 30, it says Elijah comes to all the people saying, "Come here to me." They came to him. He repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With those stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed, arranged wood, cut the bowl into pieces, laid it on the wood, then said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water, and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. Fire comes roaring out of heaven and consumes the altar and licks up the trenches. The people cry out, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Elijah commands them, "Seize the prophets of Baal," and they seize them and slaughter them right there. Oh, there's so much in this passage and I can't cover it all. After bringing the fire, it's time to make it rain. So Elijah goes up onto the mountain and prays, sending his servant back and forth to look at the horizon. At first he says, "There's nothing there," and 7 times this is repeated. But every time Elijah says, "Go back, look again." James tells us that Elijah, verse 17 of chapter 5, was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Why is James telling us this? Because sometimes, even when we pray in faith, we don't see the results right away. But Elijah in this passage keeps praying. And as he does, he finally gets what he prayed for. But even more impressive is the confidence, the faith, which means confidence itself, that ultimate trust, the confidence of things not seen, that Elijah demonstrates. Now here's the coolest thing. Verse 44 says, "So Elijah said, 'Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go before the rain stops you.' Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." Can you imagine? Elijah outruns Ahab's chariot and gets there before him, kind of like a Bugs Bunny character. Verse 46 tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Can you imagine the look on Ahab's face when he pulls up in his chariot and Elijah's sitting there on the front porch, feet up, rocking in his chair, a stalk of wheat between his teeth, like Bugs Bunny going, "Eh, what took you so long?" I don't know about you, but I like my prophets a little punk rock, and there was none more punk rock than Elijah, unless you count John the Baptist. I wish we had more time, but this is one of Elijah's greatest hits when it comes to chapters in the Bible. Well, I'll see you tomorrow as we continue our journey through the Word and unpack more of the ministry of the prophet Elijah. Read 1 Kings chapter 18 today, and as you do, ask God to give you the same courage He gave Elijah.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.